Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, March 5th, 2024, Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. We are winding up that great paragraph, verses 21 to 27, and then we go into verses 28 to 32, which are so unique and so special that in the Hebrew text, it's a different chapter. Now, I said that last week, and a couple of you looked at me like I had two heads. But in the Hebrew, and I even brought the Hebrew text up here with me. See this Biblia Hebraica? I've worn it out. But I brought it up just because you that looked at me with like I had two heads, I will show you verses 28 to 32 in chapter 2 in the Hebrew Bible is chapter 3. And then there's chapter 4 in the Hebrew Bible, and that's what chapter 3 in your English text. So, anyway. Aha. So in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, there's one announcement before we get started. This is very, very important. It has been asked, are we going to have Upland Bible Church March Madness? That's very serious. Yes. There's going to be Upland Bible Church March Madness, so when they get the teams that are going to be in it, fill out your bracket, bring it to church, because you could win millions. Well, that's spoken as if you were a Democrat. You could win 30 cents, maybe. So, yes, there will be up on Bible Church March Madness. Hal Lindsey, your friendly neighborhood Satan Club. Imagine the ancient god Molech, and we studied this in the Old Testament scriptures. Imagine the ancient god Molech with fire beneath him and his outstretched arms burning hot. Think about Molech's priests convincing parents to place their babies in those arms as a burnt sacrifice to Satan. And they did. Child sacrifice. That sin finally triggered God's great judgment of Israel. Because our God is a holy God, absolute righteousness and perfect justice. The people refused to stop this satanic sacrifice of children. So God stopped it with divine judgment. Satan must really hate kids. Or maybe he attacks them so fiercely because of their vulnerability. They depend on adults to protect them. But too many of those adults whose job it is to shield children, primarily parents and educators, have chosen to lay them into the white hot arms of Satan. People surrendered to Satan can rationalize every category of evil. Entry-level Satanists teach that neither God nor Satan exists. Yet they worship Satan, though they might say they worship only the idea of Satan. They consider him the ultimate nonconformist rebel. But the devil doesn't free people from conformity. He demands it. And he is the chief instigator of war and murder and rape and envy and bullying and thousands of other things that bring misery to life. Satanists are now busy taking their worship of evil into the lives of elementary school children. In the form of Satan clubs. They advertise these clubs as fun, happy, educational, and full of hope. And the devil? Well, they present him as a great guy, an angel of light. Well, guess what? The devil presents himself as an angel of light. One flyer reused in several school districts reads, quote, "Hey kids, let's have fun at after-school Satan Club. Science and community service projects, puzzles and games, nature activities, arts and crafts, snacks, and tons of fun." And after each one of those is an exclamation mark. They seem to be trying to prove their high level of fun by using exclamation marks everywhere. The flyer also features a bizarre cartoon version of the master of their religion. They depict Satan as a benign version of a silent film era movie villain, except they add horns, comically sprouting from his head. They assure us that the Satan of their religion is not to be taken seriously. Their flyer says, quote, "The Satanic Temple is a non-theistic religion that views Satan as a literary figure who represents a metaphorical construct of rejecting tyranny and championing the human mind and spirit," unquote. The Satan of literature leads to dark territory indeed. The best-selling book in which this literary figure shows up is the Bible. And in the Bible, he is anything but a champion of the human mind and spirit. Look at the devil elsewhere in literature. He's shown as the instigator of evil in its darkest forms, as the ultimate hater of humans and the ultimate hater of God. As a literary figure, the devil stands against all that is good. Yet the flyer says, quote, parents, your child will learn benevolence and empathy, critical thinking, problem solving, creative expression, personal sovereignty, and compassion, unquote. Imagine thinking that kids can learn benevolence, empathy, and compassion from Satan. They also say kids will learn critical thinking from people so confused that they think that the Satan of literature represents a champion of the human spirit. Pray for our children. This is one small part of the onslaught against them. Also pray for their teachers at school, at church, in the home, and elsewhere. Pray too for the satanically deluded purveyors of darkness. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 gives a grave warning, not just to Satanists, but to the people of our age in general. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. This is the time we're living in the United States of America. When I was in grade school, junior high school, college, I know some of you think that was 1,000 years ago, but there was no such thing as Satan clubs. We didn't have any Satan clubs in grade school. There were no Satan clubs in junior high school. There were no Satan clubs in high school. And now it's all throughout our educational system. We are a nation in apostasy and degeneracy. We are a nation where even people who call themselves Christians have no desire to know God. They have no desire to love God. They have no desire to know and study the Word of God. All of that is not important. We're in apostasy and degeneracy. We're a nation living on the edge of the volcano. We're still here, so there's hope. But the hope is learning what we've been studying in Joel. Biblical repentance. What is the word repent? Metanoeo, to change your thinking. There's still hope because we're here, but what has to happen? We need to change our thinking and turn back to God and turn back to the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was asked, what's the most important commandment? He answered, the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment, Jesus Christ said, is to love your neighbor as yourself. That's virtue love. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life that God has given to us to live in the church age. And yet, very, very few Christians in America love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love their neighbor as themselves. First of all, you develop personal love for God, and that motivates impersonal love for all and culminates in occupation with Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. But we're a nation where most Christians, they're living in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system. They can't be deemed, Christians cannot be demon possessed, but Christians in this country are demon influenced. They're influenced by demonic doctrines, doctrines of demons. But we've been studying, all these things we've been studying in Joel apply to where we are today in our country. Well, we're in Joel 2, chapter 2, verses 21 to 27. We've almost finished this paragraph. Verses 21 to 27 is the foretaste of the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on planet Earth when he comes back at the second advent. In verse 21, we see the land is happy. In verse 22, the animals are happy. In verse 23a, the people are happy. In verse 23b and 24, there is great economic prosperity. In verse 25 to 27, the living and true God answers the reversionists and the cynics of the nations of the world. In verse 25, repentance, changing one's thinking, is followed by restoration of blessings. And then verses 26 and 27, and we haven't quite exegeted all of verse 27, but verses 26 and 27 sounds like this. Verse 26, you will have plenty to eat, and you will have inner satisfaction, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who manufactures wonders and miracles with you all. And then my people will never be put to shame. Verse 27. And then you will know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and that there is no other. There is only one living and true God. The name of this living and true God is found in Matthew 28, verse 19. We have the Greek word there for name, onoma. O-N-O-M-A. Onoma is the Greek word for name. Excuse me, and it's in the singular, the name, singular, of the living and true God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The living and true God is one, one God, one in essence, three in personality, the Trinity. The Lord Jesus Christ is eternal God. He is co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father and with God the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah Elohim. The Lord Jesus Christ is the God of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. the anointed one, the Mashiach in the Hebrew, promised in the Old Testament scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, deity. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, true humanity. He is undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever, hypostatic union. He is the Son of David and the rightful heir to the throne of David. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal successor of the Davidic dynasty. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lion of Judah. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29, John 1:34-36. So verse 27 so far says, then you will know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and that there is no other. Now we closed with a passage last time. I'd like to start with that this evening. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Moses is the author of the first five books in the Old Testament. Moses is the author of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting at verse 35. To you it was shown that you might know, that you might know that the Lord, He is God, and there is no other besides Him. There's no other God. There's only one living and true God. And that is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. One in essence, three in personality. Verse 36. Out of the heavens, He let you hear His voice to discipline you. And on earth, He let you see His great fire. And you heard His words from the midst of the fire. Because He loved your fathers, therefore He chose their descendants after them. And He personally brought you out from Egypt by His great power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in and to give you their land for an inheritance as it is today. Verse 39. Know therefore today, and take it to your heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and on the earth below, and there is no other, there is no other God. Verse 40, so you shall keep His statutes and His commandments, which I am giving you today, that it may go well with you, and with your children after you, and that you may live long on the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. For all time. Who gave Israel the land? The living and true God, Jesus Christ. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave Israel the land they're in. And you know, the Muslims have been trying ever since 1948 to drive the Jews out of Israel. They have tried since 1948 to destroy Israel, to annihilate every Jew from the face of the earth. They have tried and tried and tried and tried and failed and failed and failed and failed. By the way, the next book we're going to be studying after Joel is going to have, it's going to teach this a fantastic principle that the Lord Jesus Christ has assigned elect angels to go throughout the entire world and to protect, make sure Israel's protected. And the Lord Jesus Christ is right in the middle of the nation Israel. And here is war after war after war. The Muslims have tried to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. And Israel is still there. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. And if they could only see, if they only studied the scriptures, and we're in Joel. Wait till we get to the next book. I can't wait to get to it. I'm having a great time studying the next book. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I'm waiting for you to write down on a piece of paper which one you think it is. If you win, why, who knows how much you will get for getting the right pick. Well, it could be millions again, you know. Paper. The Lord Jesus Christ has assigned elect angels to protect the nation Israel. And not only that, the Lord Jesus Christ is right in the middle. And they will not be destroyed. God has a plan for Israel. And when he comes back at the second advent, the whole world will be blessed by association with Israel. The whole world will be blessed. And Jesus Christ, the living and true God, will rule planet Earth from Israel, Jerusalem. Then you will know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and there is no other. That's verse 27. Now the last part of verse 27 ends the exact same way as verse 26. And it should be correctly translated. And then my people will never be put to shame again. So, one, Israel's experience typifies the life of many Christians today. Israel's experience typifies the life of many Christians today. They have believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They know that the Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty in full for all of their sins on the cross. Two, through faith in Jesus Christ, they are the people of God. Through faith in Jesus Christ, they are the people of God. Through regeneration, being born again, they are the family of God. Through the baptism of the Spirit and union with Christ, they are the royal family of God. Galatians 3:26-28 says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ at the moment of faith in Christ, the baptism of the Spirit, You were identified with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session. You're in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And you have clothed yourself with Christ. And therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in union with Christ, in Christ Jesus. 3. They know that today in the church age, God indwells his people. They know that today in the church age, God indwells his people. We saw this in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. First Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were purchased at a price, and therefore honor God with your body. And John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. Before long, Jesus Christ is teaching, before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will behold me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, union with Christ, baptism of the Spirit, and I am in you, Jesus Christ indwelling you. And then John 17. John 17. 22 and 23. Jesus Christ, again, this is the great chapter of his prayer to the Father. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, Jesus Christ indwelling us, and you in me. And then verse 26. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the virtue love you have for me may be in them. And that I myself may be in them, the indwelling of Jesus Christ. So they know that today in the church age, God indwells his people. 4. Through logistical grace, blessing, and support, he keeps them alive in the devil's world, so that they might make the good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and grow up in grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, point 4, through logistical grace, blessing, and support, he keeps them alive in the devil's world so that they might make the good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, to fulfill 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a mandate for all of us. However, the ruler of planet Earth is a fallen angel. We know him as the devil or Satan. And Satan has many strategies to try to make believers casualties and total losers in the invisible war of the angelic conflict. Satan has an inside agent that he uses. That inside agent is the sin nature with all of its lust patterns. And he uses that inside agent to try to recruit you into his cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And once you're in Satan's cosmic system, you have no spiritual life. You have no filling of the Spirit. You have no fellowship with God. And you become a total failure by your own free will, bad decisions. Point five. Like Israel in Joel's day, you need to have a change of thinking. It's called repentance. Biblical repentance. You need to change your thinking. You need to change your mental attitude. You need to use God's provision, grace provision of rebound. You've got to start there. You got to start by 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It has to start there. You have to come to your senses. You have to be aware that you got a problem. Hello? Houston, we got a problem. You got to realize you got a problem. It has to start there and rebound. Six, then you need to change your thinking, change your mental attitude from negative volition to positive volition. You need to change your thinking from arrogance to humility. Humility is respect for authority. Respect for the authority of God. Respect for the authority of the Word of God. Respect for the authority of the pastor teacher who teaches the Word of God. So you need to change your thinking. Change your mental attitude from negative volition to positive volition, from arrogance to humility. You need to turn back to God and His Word. Seven. Sad to say, many believers will not turn back. And any faithful communicator of the Word of God, it breaks your heart. It broke the Apostle Paul's heart. There were many people that he gave the gospel to. They believed in Jesus Christ. And then at one point in time, they were positive and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And then they reacted. They reacted to something. It always starts. Reversionism always starts with reaction. You react to something. And then you peel off and away you go. And the Apostle Paul says, I tell you, even weeping, that these believers have made themselves the enemies of the cross of Christ. It broke the Apostle Paul's heart. It breaks any faithful pastor's heart to see believers react, get into reversionism, peel off. And by living in the cosmic system, they, by their own bad decision, make themselves the enemies of the cross of Christ. So sad to say, point seven, many believers will not turn back, but will wander in the wilderness of the cosmic system for years, spiritually blind, spiritually bankrupt. Eight. Yet God promises His grace blessings and His power if they rebound, if they change their thinking, repentance, and turn back to Him and His Word. Yet God promises His grace, blessings, and His power if they rebound and then repent, turn back to Him, change their thinking about Him and His Word. 9. God will graciously provide the early and latter rains of spiritual renewal, restoring the years which the locusts of sin have destroyed. God will graciously provide the early and latter rains of spiritual renewal, restoring the years which the locusts of sin have destroyed. It is certainly very true that years of living your life in Satan's cosmic system leave their mark. That leaves a mark on your mind and on your body. It is true that those years of living in Satan's cosmic system are not redeemable. 10. But the Christian who acknowledges his sin, 1 John 1:9, and gets back into fellowship with God, the Christian who becomes positive, changes his thinking, repents from negative volition to positive volition, and from arrogance to humility, he can experience a new beginning and enjoy the fullness of spiritual blessing in each fresh tomorrow. 11. For those who turn back to God and His Word, God promises to take away their shame. For those who turn back to God and His Word, God promises to take away their shame. Verse 27, then you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. And then my people will never be put to shame again. All right. Now, the rest of the book of Joel, we have the promises of a golden age, a glorious future. A golden age is coming, a glorious future. And it starts in Joel 2, verses 28 to 32, where we have the return of the Messiah. And again, in the Hebrew text, chapter 2 ends at verse 27. That's the last verse in the chapter 2 of the Hebrew text. The five verses, 28 to 32, which is the conclusion in our English Bibles, that's a whole new chapter in the Hebrew Bible. That's chapter 3, and chapter 3 is only five verses long. Verses 28 to 32. That's chapter 3. So in the Hebrew text, Joel 2, 28 to 32 is Joel 3, 1 to 5. In the Hebrew text, Joel 3, 1 to 21 is Joel 4, 1 to 21. Now, why? Why do we have this difference between the Hebrew text and the English text? First of all, you know that your English Bibles are not inspired. They're not the God-breathed scriptures. These are all translations. I have three Bibles up here and they're all different. They're not the God-breathed scriptures. The God-breathed scriptures in the Old Testament is in the Hebrew and Aramaic. It's in the Biblia Hebraica. This thing has been around a couple thousand years, as long as I have. And it's falling apart. That's great. I majored in Hebrew and minored in Greek. But I brought this up here just for some of you that looked at me like I had two heads. So that you can look and see chapter 2 ends at verse 27. Chapter 3 is 1 to 5. Chapter 4 is 1 to 21. Got it all up here. I'll charge though. You're welcome to come up after class. I'll be glad to show some of you. When I mentioned that last week, I had a couple look at me. They wrinkled their brow. What planet did you get off of? So I thought, well, you know, I'll bring my Bibliobreak up here. So why do we have this difference between the Hebrew text and the English text? Because it was recognized very early that Joel 2, 28 to 32, was a very, very unique and significant prophetical passage of Scripture. Joel 2, 28 to 32 is a very unique and significant prophetical passage describing that part of the day of the Lord concerning the golden age of the millennial kingdom when Jesus Christ returns. That 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on planet Earth following his second advent. So, by way of introduction, one, Joel 2, 28 and 29, the millennial kingdom will be a time of great spirituality. Great spirituality and great ecstatics. Verses 28 and 29, the millennial kingdom will be a time of great spirituality and great ecstatics. Two, Joel 2, verses 30 and 31 tells us when this will take place. Joel 2, 30 and 31 tells us when this will take place. Three, Joel 2, 32 gives the qualifications for entering the millennial kingdom. Four, this is a prophetical passage looking forward to the golden age of the millennial kingdom. Not to the church age. This does not see its fulfillment in the church age. This is a prophetical passage looking forward to the golden age of the millennial kingdom. Not the church age. We're living in the church age. Church age began at Pentecost. Church age concludes with the rapture. And following the rapture, then the 70th week of Daniel, the 7-year tribulation period, followed by the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth, followed by the golden age, the millennial reign of Christ on the earth. Point five, remember that the church age is musterion. This is the Greek word, M-U-S-T, long E-R-I-O-N, musterion. This is a transliterated mystery. And what it means is, in the Old Testament, nobody knew anything about this dispensation. They didn't know anything about the church age. So The church age is mysterion, it's mystery, it was not known about in Old Testament times. So, obviously, this is not referring to the church age and Pentecost. 6. So even though this passage is quoted by Peter in Acts 2:17-21, that does not mean that the day of Pentecost is the fulfillment of this passage. It is not. 100% absolutely it is not. So even though this passage is quoted by Peter in Acts 2:17-21, that does not mean that the day of Pentecost is the fulfillment of this passage. 7. The day of Pentecost, which is the beginning of the church age, and the church age is not the fulfillment of this passage. The day of Pentecost and the church age is not the fulfillment of this passage. Eight. Rather, the day of the Lord, specifically the second advent of Jesus Christ when he comes back to the earth, and the millennial kingdom, which he will establish by the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by us, not by man, but established by the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the fulfillment of this passage. Now, remember, the theme of the book of Joel is the day of the Lord. That's the theme of Joel. And the day of the Lord actually has three parts. Part one is the tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel, which is 7 years in length. Part two is the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. Part three is the millennial kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ establishing his kingdom, the golden age on planet earth. God has promised in the prophetic scriptures that a golden age is coming to this planet. The millennial kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of David, ruling planet earth from Jerusalem. This golden age will be a time of perfect environment. This golden age will be a time when war and famine and flood and disease will cease. This golden age will be a time of world peace. No more wars. This golden age will not be brought about by man. It won't be brought about by the Democrats or the Republicans or the pedestrians. Okay, just seeing if you're still out there. Some of you said, I haven't known about that party, the pedestrian party. The golden age is called the millennium. However, that word millennium is not found in the Bible. It comes from two Latin words, mille, thousand, and annum, years. It refers to the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on planet Earth. Now, as we look around the world, we see hot wars and cold wars, wars and rumors of wars all over planet Earth. We see the satanic attack on Ukraine by Russia. And by the way, there are so many wonderful, wonderful Christians in the Ukraine. And you know what? When Russia invaded the Ukraine, they thought that would be over in 2 weeks. It's been years. And that is a miracle. And why is the Ukraine still here? Because they have a pivot of mature believers there. Great winner believers in the Ukraine. And I hope I encourage you. I pray for the Ukraine every single day and all of those believers that are there. And there are winner believers there. Not only there, but in Belarus too. And I pray that God puts a wall of fire around them, protects them, and then that they'll be channels of God's grace and tools in His hands to proclaim establishment truth, gospel truth, doctrinal truth all over the land. That many sons might be brought into glory and many believers brought to spiritual maturity. And there are these Christians in Ukraine have taken the gospel to the Ukrainian military on the front lines and given them the gospel. And they believed in Christ, and they have, when they get a chance to come back, they come to Bible class to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. This is going on. This is what you don't hear or read about on the news or in the newspapers, but this is reality, what's going on. It's a miracle that the Ukraine is still here. Russia thought of, Putin thought of, they'd be done in 2 weeks. But they're here by the grace and power of God. And there is a, they could have more winner believers in Ukraine than we have in America. So remember those Christians. And we were having dinner with Randy and, or lunch with Randy and Doty, our song leader. And you want to see two great winner believers. It's Randy and Doty. Frick, just like Don and Sue Lebchek. Phenomenal. And they said, well, Jim Meyer is going back to the Ukraine. He's going back to the Ukraine. He's 80 years old. And he's going back to the Ukraine. He said he established Bible schools and seminaries in Ukraine and churches all over Ukraine. He's going back to teach doctrine. He's 80 years old. Geez, I'm a spring rooster. He's 80 years old and he's got the mental attitude of a great, great winner believer. Pray for Jim Myers. He goes back to Ukraine and into Belarus to the churches they've established there as well. You see, there are wars and rumors of wars going on all over the world. And yet you hear people, this is the cry. Peace. 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 Mankind all over the world is looking for peace and security. Mankind want job security, they want health security, they want life security. People today want to put an end to war. They want universal peace on planet Earth to prevail. This is what we want. But just the opposite is true. Well, the rapture is going to occur here to end the church age. And when it does, Satan's man will come on the scene, the Antichrist. And in the first 3.5 years, he will seem to solve the world's problem. Along with them, ecumenical religion. And he will use ecumenical religion in the first 3.5 years to gain worldwide power. And then halfway through the tribulation, the abomination that causes desolation will take place. The Antichrist will go into Israel, into the Holy of Holies, and declare himself to be God. And then hell will break loose on planet Earth. Worldwide warfare and destruction. The last 3.5 years. And Jesus Christ said, there's never been a time like this in all of human history. It's the great tribulation. So, this is trying to get you brought up to speed on what we're going to be studying in Joel 2, 28 to 32. And I'm still in the introduction part of this. So come back for the rest of the introduction next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.